You know, Tucker, I cannot believe I am standing in my own zombie takeout. Dreams really do come true.
What's up? Welcome to episode 132 of
Zombie
Zombie,
Takeout.
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, of course, we have a bit of listener submitted. This is from Tom Gerke on Google Plus in reference to last week's episode. He said, "Listen to the show this morning. Based on Scotto's reaction, I'm surprised he gave it as many as two brains. Totally on the Uncle John train with this one. With my second viewing of the movie, it went from a purchase I regretted to something I'm likely to watch repeatedly. Don't get me wrong, this is a bad movie that I think takes itself way too seriously. I get the impression that Snyder was hoping to make a mark as a movie with a different way of telling a story, kind of like Inception or even a Pulp Fiction. Of course, he has apparently as much admitted that he had been looking for a vehicle to package up various disparate cool scenes. As far as Yoda Charlie showing up at the end, I got the impression that was in the Tier 1 fantasy, aka the dance studio brothel, and not the real world, which makes it feasible at least. Maybe Doll's subconscious would have wanted to make sure a guardian was there to get one girl to safety. One could argue that it's the only reality that really matters at that point. So we only ever get to know the fantasy girls, superficially, at most, as Scotto points out repeatedly. Are we to assume that all of the girls in the real world asylum were put there unjustly? We're just told that one girl escapes. Is there now a psycho, albeit a hot psycho, running free? Way more thought than this movie deserves, though. Looking forward to see what's next on the review schedule."
And, you know, if the FBI comes asking for you, we'll vouch for you, don't worry.
I don't know if I'd agree. I agree, obviously agree with most of it. I don't know if I'd say it takes itself too seriously. I can see how that you would think that. To me, it was all camp.
Yeah.
It was camp and cool action scenes to me. And I like his theory about the end. That does make a lot more sense. Because I was thinking that was the real world, which it wouldn't be, because she was about to have the lobotomy in the real world. So it only makes sense that that would be the dance studio fantasy. Well, go ahead.
Well, one fantasy or another.
Yeah.
I mean,
possibly, yeah.
Because Yoda Charlie never was actually in the brothel himself.
Oh, no, but it makes more sense that he'd be in a fantasy than suddenly somehow showing up in the real world.
Yoda Charlie only showed up
right
when she tried to dance her way to freedom.
Well, but it's reasonable that he would jump from one fantasy world to the other because they're all in her head.
Sure.
Then he would suddenly show up in the real world. I was thinking about it, and again, well, going against my own recommendations with this movie, I think I figured out why Tier 2 is the brothel and why her superpower is dance. I managed to make sense of that.
You're justifying why her superpower is dance.
I think I've pulled this off.
Oh no. Okay. All right. I'll bite.
Well,
why is her superpower dance?
I'll go with why it's a brothel first.
Okay.
Which I think is a much stronger theory.
All right.
At the end, we find out that Blue's been sexually abusing the lobotomy patients and possibly charging others to do the same.
Hmm.
So I think during the 5 days leading up to the lobotomy, she probably got wind of this. And basically, that's where she knew she was going. So that's where she kind of turned that into a fantasy version of it. You know, it fit with where she was probably going to end up. And as far as the dancing, there is a line that is in the director's cut when they first get into the brothel and they mention the high roller. I think it was Blue said he's going to be doing some flower picking, implying that she's a virgin, baby doll.
Okay.
I think that was kind of a sanitized version of what she would actually be doing in that situation because she didn't want to think about what she would really be doing in that situation. You know, to protect herself, she sanitized it as dance.
So, She wasn't really dancing in those scenes. She was fucking the person.
That's what her mind sanitized it to dancing, because she didn't want to think about having to, actually fuck them.
But they actually have an audience and stuff, and people.
Oh, I forgot about that—the actual
Yeah.
stage show part, right?
Yeah.
Just a theory.
Mesmerizing
Yeah,
everyone
like I said,
with the power of her dance.
going against my own recommendations and thinking about the movie.
They really should have just had, like, what's her name? Berkeley from Showgirls play that part and
Oh
just
God,
gotten it over with.
no.
And doing the hand gestures.
You well, by your own rating, it was even it was way better. Even if you didn't care for the movie, it was still way better than Showgirls.
Of course it was, yeah.
And one more from listener submitted, John Phillips on Facebook, also in reference to last week's show, said there was a Superboy TV show in the late 80s, early 90s, in reference to our discussion of how many Superman live action versions there were. I vaguely remember that, but I think that brings it up to 8 now. He also said, also Zack Snyder is the new George Lucas, meaning great visuals, script meh. Could Zack Snyder do a remake? He excels at remakes. You responded saying, Sucker Punch makes Phantom Menace look like Chaucer. Okay, Chaucer with Jar Jar Binks. Misa going on a pilgrimage. Snyder didn't have any
Couldn't resist
characters that
that.
were that annoying. He just didn't have any characters. Now, you're right about the characters. Very underdeveloped. Kind of not the
Misa
point.
going on a pilgrimage.
Kind of not the point of the movie. I disagree with the Phantom Menace analogy. Now, refresh my memory. Are you an apologist?
You mean someone who's moved past the 70s?
Who
Yes.
liked the prequels?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, we should table that discussion then, because that could go an entire show length. I'll just move past that then. Because that gets into the whole apologist argument as well.
It doesn't burn my, bring in my ire as it does to a lot of fans that didn't. I guess they forgot that the originals were children's movies too.
I can watch the originals now and appreciate them.
Yeah.
I can't so much do that with 1 and 2. 3, I'll give you, was good,
Yeah.
but not so much 1 and 2.
They did get better as they went along the prequels,
Yes, yeah,
definitely.
I will admit that. But we'll table that discussion because that gets into way more than we have
Yeah.
time for. Snyder with the remakes. I pointed out he's really only done one remake, Dawn of the Dead. He's done a lot of adaptations. Possibly you could say Superman's a reboot, although I'd like to suggest a moratorium on reboot. When you have a character who's been around since like the 30s and 40s and there have been 7 or 8 live action versions, it's not a
Well,
reboot anymore, it's an adaptation.
the Spider-Man reboot, I mean, well, and this coming up Superman reboot, it's just absurd at this point because
It's an adaptation. It's yet another adaptation. It's not a reboot.
they had just rebooted the damn thing not that many years ago.
But it's just another. That's the thing, is if you look at it as a reboot, you think about how long it's been. If you just look at it as another director's adaptation of the franchise, it's just another person taking a shot at the franchise is all.
Yeah.
So I'd like to suggest a moratorium on the term reboot for that.
Oh, I was thinking a moratorium and reboots altogether, tell you the truth.
Well, there's always going to be adaptations, and sometimes they're good, sometimes not so much,
I
but.
mean, Nolan's got a good thing that
Well,
there and
he's stepping away from it though, and
exactly.
they're not gonna sit on the franchise for long.
No,
They're
they're
gonna,
not.
especially given how little time there was between the two latest Spider-Man adaptations. They're gonna
We
jump
shall
on that
see the
very
return of
quickly.
nipples to the bat suit
Oh,
in no
so
time, I
oh
think.
God. Hopefully they get someone who can do at least as well as Nolan, or maybe close. Maybe Matthew Vaughn if he's not busy.
Let it lie. Let it breathe for a bit.
Well, I agree they should, but they're not going to.
Yeah. Or just do the animated
Oh
movie.
yeah. Well, they've done several.
Well,
And
no, like, feature it up, man.
no, they have been several feature-length animated films.
I do remember that, but yeah, bring that back.
They keep doing them. They're still doing them. There's a very recent one out, I think, based on Year One. They've been very good. They've been I actually prefer them to the Nolan movies, if I'm being honest.
Really? Well, you know what? I'm not insane about the Nolan movies. I think they get a lot of more love than they
Yeah.
deserve.
As I've said before, Nolan's my favorite director. I'm a huge fan. I think the Batman movies. Now, I say this without having seen the latest. I think they're his weakest.
It's tough because I mean they're still enjoyable and they're still good
They're good.
movies.
They're good. I'm not saying they're bad. I mean, but, weakest of Nolan's work is still damn good. I just think they're the weakest of everything he's done, but the possible exception of
He has done some great
his
shit.
first film. But they're nowhere near Inception or The Prestige or Memento, Anyway, on to some news. This is from IO9's Morning Spoilers. It's about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Screenwriter Rick Jaffa told Total Film that the idea of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes sequel is unlikely to pick up on time travel, one of the big recurring plot devices of the previous Planet of the Apes sequels. "I don't foresee that," he said. "But it's interesting you should ask that, because it's the one big element that we made a conscious decision not to explore in the first one, and we were worried that there might be some backlash in the science fiction community based because of it. When the story first came together, we were very, very excited, and yet before we pitched it, I thought, the one thing missing, though, is time travel. But it's not necessary for this particular telling, and I don't really foresee it, to tell you the truth." Now, I'm guessing they're talking about the classics. Now, I've only seen the first one. You've seen all of them, right?
I've seen bits and pieces,
Okay.
mostly sat through, picked up marathons at different
Okay.
points. So they kind of all blend together for me. I don't know which ones I've seen most of because I've seen them all in one sitting.
What would be the time travel? Aside from the main character, Charlton Heston, the guy who co becomes the main character, Charlton Heston's character in the original, coming back and to the Planet of the Apes. But that's not really time travel.
No,
That's
no.
more of an Einsteinian faster than light thing.
Or the David Tell version of time travel, which I think involves a lot of alcohol.
But what was the actual time travel in the originals then?
It was a device that was used. I'm trying to remember in which one, though. I mean, you're talking about a franchise that had, what, eight different movies?
Yeah, okay. It was used heavily in them, though.
I don't think it was used heavily in all of them. I don't remember
Okay.
them being used that prominently, but
Yeah, I don't really see a need for that story to have time travel either.
I'm kind of surprised that there actually will be a sequel to that Planet of the Apes. I mean, I enjoyed it and everything, but I didn't think it really went over that well.
Actually, from what I'd seen, everybody else liked it a lot more than we did.
Yeah?
People loved that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know why. It was okay, but anyway, it went over extremely well, so it's obviously going to get a sequel because it's of course built right into it.
Well, yeah.
It had, you know, it's the be it was intended as the beginning of a series.
Ah, or a reboot.
Yeah, effectively. Although, well, not exactly a kind of a reboot of the franchise, yes. Not a direct remake because they never did this version of it, as far as I know.
All right.
They never told the very beginnings, at least not in that kind of detail. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2010, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, and the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Long John's Pickled Eggs.
And also sponsored by Earl Grey Tea. It's much better than chamomile.
Especially if you have asthma.
Yeah. All right, so this the story begins with it's a scene that it's almost a throwaway scene, I think. I'll have to go back and watch it
Not
again to
really.
see how this fits into the actual movie. But you have this reporter investigating something, and they're doing this Blair Witch thing, which I guess anybody that's going to bring shame to the ste upon the steaming pile that is Blair Witch, deserves some props. But really the story is about these college kids and these two rednecks that are both going on vacations at the same time. They are in the same area. The rednecks have purchased their very own cabin in the woods. What's the worst that could happen in a cabin in the woods?
Should be pointed out that this came out a year before Cabin in the Woods.
Very true. Yes, that's right.
So it wasn't ripping that off.
Well, I mean, A Cabin in the Woods has been the
Oh
device
yes,
of horror movies.
it's a parody of the classic Killer in the Woods movies.
Right. They spot each other along the way to the cabin. The college kids are quite frightened of the rednecks. The rednecks are quite smitten by the college girls. They meet in a general store briefly. It does not go well. The redneck is just way entirely too awkward and takes some terrible advice.
Carrying a very large scythe.
Carrying a very large scythe, Abraham Lincoln vampire. Or versus
Well,
zombies
no,
style.
that was a sickle. I've actually
Oh
did.
yeah, you're right, you're
I did
right.
some research today. That's actually the small one is a sickle. Scythe is
Oh,
the big
okay.
Grim Reaper one, which is what he had.
Right. And then let's see. They go their separate ways. The rednecks are cleaning up their cabin. They go on a little fishing trip where they see the college students are going for a swim. But quite fortunately, they're there to save one who slips, falls, and hits her head. Now, her friends do not notice that she slipped and fell and hit her head. All they see are the rednecks taking their friend out of the water, putting her on the boat, and then they just run away, leaving her with them. They wind up taking care of her. They try to tell their friends that they have her friend, but for some reason, they think that they have kidnapped her. And wow, to explain the rest of this, let's see. The kids then try to attack the rednecks, but instead of doing any harm to the rednecks, they wind up pretty much killing themselves.
It is the goriest French farce ever made.
Yes, it is. That is pretty much. I could pretty much stop there and say hilarity ensues, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty much the rest of the film.
And really, just explaining the slight twist at the end, kind of, you can't really get into that without ruining it.
Yeah.
Which is, so hilarity ensues.
Yes, hilarity ensues.
Which is why I disagree about the beginning being a throwaway scene. I actually think it's a big reveal that was a bit of a mistake.
I.
Because you see the character who goes on to become the big bad.
Right. I think that is the one thing that they could have lost in this.
And it's playing in the hospital.
Yeah.
In the hospital scene at the end, that news report, the beginning of that news report is on the TV
Okay.
before they pull back. But they didn't need it at the very beginning, and it is a bit of a spoiler.
Yeah.
Because you see the guy 2 seconds later.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty confusing.
Yeah. But that's my only issue, or one of my very few issues with the movie. The rednecks are played by Tyler Labine and Alan Tudyk. Tyler Labine was the lab assistant in Planet of the Apes, or Rise.
Yeah, you know,
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I recognized Tyler Labine. I wasn't quite sure where from, and then I realized
The first plague victim in Rise, yeah.
he was from Reaper.
Reaper 2, yes.
That was where I really,
And
saw him from.
Alan Tudyk's done a ton of things. Best known, at least to geeks, as Wash from Firefly.
Alan Tudyk has a ridiculous career. If you look
Yeah.
at his IMDb,
Yeah.
he's only been going around for about just a little over 15 years, and yet he has 58 credits.
And a brilliant actor. But
It's insane that have that much work.
I think because I'm so familiar with him in other roles, I didn't quite buy him as Tucker. I didn't buy him as a hillbilly. Whereas Tyler Labine kind of always plays the same guy.
Yeah, he
So I
does.
completely bought him, and I loved him in this role. He was perfect for it. However, I think a lot of the jokes did get predictable.
What,
I should say I've seen this before. I saw the unrated version. When they did a pre-release VOD on this one, so I saw the unrated version before it even hit theaters.
Wow.
So Maybe that's why it was predictable, but I think I even remember back then thinking the jokes were a bit predictable. When you see the guy running at the wood chipper, there's a scene where Tucker's chipping some logs, and one of the college students who are trying to kill them runs straight at him. You know he's going in the wood chipper.
Yeah, you do. You do know that's gonna happen. And it's funny because last week I complained about an action movie being done in the vein of a Scooby-Doo cartoon. This week we have a horror movie done in the vein of a Three's Company episode. And it really fucking works.
Okay, you liked it, good.
Cause you and you know what? You know it's gonna happen. Just like it's those old slapstick movies where you see the guy with the You know, I have a whole tray full of pies. I wonder what's going to happen here. It's not just that he went into the wood chipper. It was the fact that he ran and pretty much did a head-first dive
Yes.
into the wood chipper. It
Literally,
was just, it was so absurd and so over the top, and just, he was nowhere near the other guy. He just completely. The other guy's just kind of like, huh? And the other guy
Tucker
just.
just didn't even have to move out of the way.
Right, exactly. He just completely jumped over him and went into the wood chipper. And then he's figuring out, like, what's going on?
And later they have to pull his bottom half out of the wood chipper.
Right.
This is one thing I have to say, particularly the unrated version. This really embraces the splatter.
Oh,
A
yes.
few weeks back, I criticized Shoot 'Em Up for not having enough splatter. This one has all the splatter you could ask for,
Definitely.
shy of trauma.
Definitely. Well, you know what? Actually, the other thing that I was reminded of when while watching this, the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episodes.
Yes.
It was like a feature-length version of one of them. You could almost see the Simpsons, because the Simpsons they do like to do, not maybe to this degree, but they do like to throw as much blood in their treehouse of horror and gore into it as they can. Get away with it, at least.
But that's kind of the beauty of this movie, and not just the role reversal where the hillbillies are the good guys. But
But that's brilliant in itself,
that's
too.
brilliant in and of itself, and I completely sympathized with Dale, Tyler Levine's character.
Right.
'Cause he's kind of the awkward, shy, nice guy.
Right.
And he spends his time trying to talk to this girl, and he just fails miserably, and I was completely there with him.
He made pancakes for her. He walks in. She screams, "Oh, you don't like pancakes? Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go make you something else." And she's like, "What? Did you say pancakes?"
It's probably the only ever time I've ever related to a hillbilly in a movie.
And now back to the wood chipper. I apparently missed the one of the best lines of that because I was just laughing at from the high jump dive into it. Apparently, he asks him, "Are you okay?" I completely missed that.
Head first into the wood chipper, and the first line out of Alan Tudyk's mouth, "Are you okay?" At a guy who just went head first into a wood chipper. But my favorite of the deaths has to be the first one.
Really?
Because Tucker is chopping a log, chops into, or no, he's cutting it with a chainsaw, that's right.
Yes.
Cutting up a log with a chainsaw cuts into a beehive. So you have these bees going everywhere. He runs away with the chainsaw on at one of the college kids. College kid runs. Tucker runs after him. Well, not so much after him, so much as away from the bees.
Right.
And it almost happens off screen. You barely see it. Kid runs into a branch and gets impaled. It just happened so quickly, and it was so out of the blue that it's the only one that I really didn't see coming.
Well, you knew something was going to happen
Well,
to
yeah.
him.
But I didn't know what.
You kind of like the seconds before he's dead, he sees the bees.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh,
That's what that was.
that's what he was running from. And then dies.
And that's where this also separates from your typical Killer in the Woods movies, and even a parody on that. There really is no bad guy until the end. There's a solid bad guy at the very end,
Yeah.
but for most of it, the antagonist is just bad luck.
Well, right. It's just a comedy of errors the whole way.
And even for Dale ends up becoming the hero, of course, kind of predictable because he's the nice guy trying to
Yeah.
talk to the girl. His coolest move is just pure luck. She's tied to a board in a lumber mill going towards a saw. He throws the hatchet, and I think he intended to throw it at the guy he was fighting.
Right, and missed.
Missed completely. It just happens to cut the ropes holding her to the board.
Can you believe they brought back the circular, the buzz saw?
Yeah, of course. It's an old. They had to play to that.
Had to. Who's done that in the last, 50 years? So I think no one's done that since like Rocky and
Yeah.
Bowling Ball.
But given the setting, an old lumber mill, it fits in perfectly. You know?
I mean, we're talking. You want to talk about old devices? That goes back to when they first were developing celluloid. That's Thomas Edison's time.
Yeah, probably.
Oh yeah. Some dude playing a piano in the middle of the theater there because there's no sound to it, and they went there.
Because they needed some way to put her in danger for an extended period of time.
Well, yeah.
And it just fit the setting perfectly. I just want to know how, and I'm going to avoid his name, at least in reference to him being the villain, how the villain ended up, or how he knew how to operate the controls of an old lumber mill. He's a college kid. How does he know how to work a lumber mill?
Maybe it was one of his elective classes. Who knows? The same way I know all the rules of volleyball.
Yeah. That actor, though, I gotta give him props. He put
Yes.
in a Jeffrey Combs level performance in this.
He has this very young Estevez Sheen kind of feel about him too in this.
Yeah.
It's
Completely believable as his college prep.
yeah.
But he goes where only Jeffrey Combs could have gone with this role.
It was a serious performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is why, as much as, I mean, Alan Tudyk's one of my favorites, but I'm a little critical of him because you have Tyler Labine just doing what he does normally.
Yeah.
It perfectly fits into the movie. And this guy just hitting it out of the fucking park.
Honestly, I'm not as familiar with Tudyk's work, and I accepted him perfectly in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it probably was just my familiarity with him that
Yeah. I
I
mean, he didn't.
yeah.
Neither of them overdid the hillbilly redneck thing. They were just, pretty much your average guys, who were just brought up in the backwoods.
Right.
And, they were nice guys. And they got caught in the middle of some nasty shit. I think the funny thing is just their cluelessness. They're deep into this, and they still don't get that they're the ones that they're trying
No,
to
no.
kill. They have like these convoluted things, like a suicide pack. That's what they're doing.
And they have a great chemistry.
Yes, they do.
Because at times they almost seem like an old married couple.
Right.
I loved the reaction when Dale is telling a bit too much to the cop who's investigating the first couple of deaths. He's mentioning that they have the girl at their cabin in the bedroom and all of this. And Tudyk's just playing this like reaction, like telling him wordlessly to shut the fuck up, and playing it beautifully. Like practically looks like he's gonna strangle him at one point.
The lines they get off in this, just the average everyday language to describe these horrific things. Like, it's been a doozy today. Or, when a guy gets nails into his skull, they're like, you just walk it off. He's gonna be fine.
And in addition to all of the insane splatter, it also goes to a really dark place when you see the eventual villain's backstory. When you find out who he really is.
An excellent point. Slasher movie group therapy rules.
Oh yeah. The Allison, the girl who they think they kidnapped, who they the girl who fell off the rock. She's a psych major. And
My God, think about if they had done this in one of the other slasher movies or
It
something,
wouldn't have worked.
well, think about that. Were they just, Jason Voorhees and this, like some of the other kids just sat at a table? All right, let's discuss this first. How does that make you feel? Oh my God.
But when they get into his backstory, when you find out where, at least where he thinks he's from, it goes incredibly dark. You have, his father being killed by a hillbilly, and, his mother was kidnapped and held by them for a while and ended up in an insane asylum where he was born, which is a surprisingly dark place to go for a comedy. Granted, a horror comedy, but
Well, yeah.
they always side more on the side of horror. Even Shaun of the Dead, I think the best horror comedy to date, sides more on the side of comedy, and I don't think would have gone quite that dark.
Well, yeah, because Shaun of the Dead, even in the end, where they pretty much just have ice cream together, play video games.
However, on the negative side, I don't think it really committed to the horror as much as it could. I'm talking about Tucker and Dale. I don't think
Yes.
it really committed to the horror as much as it could.
Well, of course. I mean, they had so much else to do with it, though.
They committed to the splatter,
Yeah.
but there was nothing that was really scary.
Well, because it was more slapstick.
Yeah, that's my other issue is the comedy was a bit too broad. There was nothing that you didn't catch the first time.
Well, I missed a fucking great line,
Oh, true,
apparently.
true,
I
true.
was too busy laughing.
But you don't really have anything going on other levels. There's nothing, no subtlety, there's no
No.
hidden jokes. Everything is right up in your face.
They even pulled the old shovel bit, which I thought was hilarious too, even though I've seen it a billion times.
Yeah, but you don't expect it to happen to a 20-year-old girl. By a hillbilly who isn't, by this point, basically the hero.
You kind of saw it's,
Yeah, you kind of saw it coming, but you didn't think they
yeah.
were really going to do it.
It's that episode of Perfect Strangers. When somebody puts a shovel on their shoulder,
Yeah, someone's going to get hit
someone's
with it.
getting to the head with it.
And I think that's the real charm of the movie, aside from the hillbillies are just really likable characters. It's predictable in the sense that you think you know where it's going to go, and it goes there.
Right.
But you never really think it's going to happen.
You know where it's going to go there. You just don't expect them to dive head first in. The wood
Yes,
chipper
yes.
is really, it sums up the whole movie there.
Yeah.
You know someone's going in that wood chipper. You've seen Fargo. You know they can't hold off on it. So, that wood chipper is going to kill somebody. You're kind of expecting a struggle and someone to accidentally fall in. The last thing in the world you're expecting, unless you've of course listened to us before you've seen this movie, is someone to take a running jump into it.
Just
Like, you're expecting people to hold up number cards for this
pretty
score.
much, yeah.
He made that kind of die.
And it doesn't just go for the splatter, it gleefully goes for the splatter.
Yes.
Proudly goes for the splatter in a way that up until this point really only Trauma does. This could very easily fit into the Trauma canon.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Now, I do have to nitpick one little thing. The
Oh, yeah.
chamomile tea. Chad at one point says it aggravates his asthma, which is fine. But then they say at the end that it causes an anaphylactic reaction. Very different things. Anaphylactic reaction is, I have an anaphylactic reaction to nuts. It's basically hives and throat closing and chest pains, and it's a very serious reaction.
Yeah.
It's a bit more than just aggravating his asthma. But it does set up a very a great device toward the end. Because,
Chamomile tea really do that?
well, if you have, I don't know about the asthma thing, but if you can have that kind of reaction to any food.
Huh.
Depends on what you're sensitive to. A lot of people have it with shellfish. Nuts are very common.
Well, yeah.
Basically, the when you if you read an ingredients list, when they highlight certain things and say contain may contain, and it's that list of common allergens, all of those things can do it. Or oh, I should say all of those things commonly do it.
Yeah, but chamomile tea, I've never heard of before until
No,
this.
I've never heard of a specific case, but I'm sure it's possible.
Huh.
So like I said, that's just one little thing I wanted to nitpick.
My only nitpick was the gun.
Okay.
How many shots did that thing have in it?
Oh yeah. One dude took his head off, and then someone else picked it up, and I think,
Which, again,
and
that
it.
was hilarious, the dude taking his head
Oh
off.
yeah. Because you saw it coming, and you're just sitting there saying, like Tucker and Dale, saying, "No, no, no."
You're expecting him to like get hit in the foot or something.
Yeah.
He's taking the gun, he's waving it, and of course you gotta take the safety off.
Dale says this to him, like another thing he said that he shouldn't have.
The man at the other side of the gun
Yeah.
who's getting the gun pointed at him
Says you gotta
points
take
out,
the safety off.
oh yeah, it's not gonna work unless you have the safety off.
And they kind of cut away. You see him turning it towards his head, and they cut away.
Right.
And they just show Tucker and Dale, and their reaction is your reaction. Like, just no, you're not gonna do that, no. And then the gunshot. But then, yeah, someone else picks it up, and it was a plain old revolver, right?
Well, whatever backwood police
I
issue.
think it was just a six shooter.
Probably, yeah.
Shoots way more than six shots out of it.
Yes. I mean, it was ridiculous how many shots were rang off.
Oh, and one other little issue. It doesn't have a Wilhelm. This movie needs a Wilhelm.
I think you're right.
I researched to make sure I didn't miss anything, and no Wilhelm.
I just assumed I missed it.
Although I should say that it is the director Eli Craig's feature film directorial debut, so give him time. He's still learning.
It's wonderful for a debut,
Oh
really.
yeah.
I mean,
Before this, he'd done a lot of writing and producing. He did a short film, but this is his first feature as a director. All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes.
as am I.
On to sequels and remakes.
Yeah, I've heard people screaming for a sequel to this, but
Yes.
I don't know.
It doesn't need to be done. It's
Yeah.
there's room for it.
There is, but
Because the bad guy doesn't die. In fact, you find out he is alive. That's actually the first thing you find out is that he survives the movie. But
yeah.
there's really no room because what else is he going to do? Continue coming after Tucker and Dale, and then you have just the movie all over again.
Which is how a lot of sequels really work now, aren't
Yeah,
they? I mean,
and particularly horror movies.
yeah.
But it's I don't think it doesn't need to be done. And this I don't think this was successful enough to merit it. It had a very short, limited theatrical release.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how much the budget was. I mean, I know the gross was close to $1 million, but I'm not sure how much it cost to actually make this.
And that was in limited release, so it
Yeah.
didn't even do as well as Attack the Block, which I think pulled, what, 5 million?
And this picked up a lot of awards actually, on like the minor,
Yeah.
circuits, so.
Yeah, it started off at Sundance, I think.
But I don't think it picked up anything there. This was, like
Okay.
South by Southwest.
All right. All right. So on to obviously remake isn't
I
necessary.
mean,
Too soon for a remake.
and Harold and Kumar have done all of the things that we probably would like to see Tucker and Dale do,
Probably, yes.
like save Christmas,
Yeah.
go to Guantanamo Bay.
Although if they were gonna do a remake, NPH as like a third hillbilly.
Oh my God, a sequel should be Tucker and Dale meet Harold and Kumar.
Wow. Yes,
There we
yes.
go.
Yeah. All right, on to brains.
On to brains.
Like I said, I really like this movie, but I think it didn't quite have the replay value. I think that's my biggest issue. And even the first time I saw it, I remember thinking some of the gags, actually a lot of the gags were a bit predictable. So I'm going to go for.
I was very torn around this. I couldn't see it'd be criminal to give this movie under a 4, definitely. I'm gonna go 4.5. I was
Okay.
damn close to giving it a 5. I enjoyed it all the way through. I think wonderful use of slapstick that you just don't see much anymore of. They brought back the fucking circular saw. The woman tied to the lo to the
Well,
to the log
and
with circular saw.
they used a skill saw, which was growing up, the son of a carpenter.
Ah, yes, my son.
Pause for anybody who knew me back in my long hair days. From, you know, as a son of a carpenter, I loved seeing the skull saw.
So yeah, I'm going 4.5. I think the only reason why it doesn't get a 5, I think some of the whole, deaths just got it stretched a little thin in some parts, just kind of like, oh, come on,
It was a little too gleeful.
Yeah.
It
But
became look what I can do.
yeah, exactly. And then and then there was the weird intro, which I think kind of
Yeah,
should
that
go.
scene should have been cut, if
Yeah.
anything. All right, so what have we learned?
Stop, drop, and roll.
And I learned not to flirt while holding a large weapon. All right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing Piranha 3D. Yes, we're starting a, well, we're doing not a double feature, but a two-part series, a duology, if you will.
Yes.
We're doing Piranha 3D next week, Piranha 3 Double D the following week. We just don't have it in us to do two movies in one episode anymore.
No.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself. I also want to mention, I also include YouTube clips. Usually, if I can, of scenes that we've discussed in the review, so you can see those if you haven't seen the movie. Or, watch them again in light of what we've said about them. You can also find links to find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, the movie list, and the request form. If you've got a movie you want to hear us review, let us know. You can also find our email address, zombietakeout@gmail.com. Or our voicemail number, which is 414-368-ZT01, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Now, until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense.
Before we get to this week's movie, we've got, as usual, a little bit of listener submitted. This first one comes from Tom Gerke on Google+, in reference to last week's episode. He said,
Hold on, man. You're pitching a little here and there. Or not pitching, but spiking a bit. Like,
like clipping?
yeah. You're breathe. I think it's you might be breathing into the phone.
I'd move the mic down a little bit. Is that better?
Yeah.
When did it start?
Pretty much when you went.
The listener submitted?
Yeah.
So I'll just take that whole thing again.
Yeah.